On the night that he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread. You ever had to hold two things at once like that? Holding what feels like the weight of the world, but you still like have a job to do and people to love and take care of. As a parent, holding two things at once feels like the entire job. But you don't have to be a parent to know what this feels like. When you feel sick, but you still have to give a presentation. When you're heartbroken, but you still have to go to work. I remember getting broken up with by my now husband and going to work the next day and being like, this should be a national holiday. No one should work today. Or when someone you love dies, but the dog needs a walk. Some of you are experiencing that right now. You're in church, but your heart, your head may be somewhere else, or holding two things at once. There's no end to Jesus' solidarity with us. He's one of us in every way, in this way as well. He knew he would be betrayed, and I imagine that there was a lump in his throat when he took the bread into his hands. And he knew he had to do this one last thing. Christianity is that. It's a holding of multiple things at once. Even from a very young person. I did not grow up in the faith, but became a Christian as a middle schooler. And remember very on being like, this feels like contradictory sometimes, but in a really beautiful way. A way of holding tensions. We believe that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. We believe that we are sinful and yet we are forgiven. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and we celebrate a risen Savior. We're a weird group of people. This is what's special about this day, Maundy Thursday. Two important things are happening at once, and we're meant to hold both and celebrate both and contemplate both. That Christ is inviting us to share a meal with him and be washed by him, not as ends in and of themselves, but as a means of doing the same with and for others. To become like him and to do like him. To remember that God's gifts make givers. N.T. Wright says about this day, this night, when Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples, he didn't offer his followers theories of atonement or recite a creed or explain precisely how his death will accomplish salvation. Instead, he gave them an act to perform. Specifically, he gave them a meal to share. It is a meal that speaks more volumes than any theory. We have two sacraments in the Anglican Church, one we do once and one we do as often as we can. This one that we do as often as we can, this meal, is a reminder of who we are and of whose we are. We commune with the one that loves us, and it changes us. Something mysterious happens in the Eucharist that no theory or no creed can quite adequately explain. I am going to talk about the show Lost, and I know that's controversial, so stay with me, Daryl specifically. He has complicated feelings about Lost. So in this show, towards the end, one of the last episodes of the show, the main character, Jack, is meeting this Jesus figure in the show named Jacob. And Jacob, who's been protecting these people on this island, is about to go away forever, and someone needs to take over. But he needs to sort of offer Jack the mantle, so to speak. And so Jacob takes him to this river, or creek, or spring, or whatever, and he has this bottle, and he dips the bottle in the water, and he has Jack drink it. And Jack drinks it, and Jacob looks at him, and he says, now you're like me. And nothing special happens, and Jack even looks at him like, what does that even mean? And yet there's no dialogue, nothing happens, and you're really unsure that anything actually did happen. You're like, this is a placebo. This is to make him feel like he's in charge. Except that in the end, Jack gives his life for his friends and for this island. Something happened. Something happened in the drinking of that water. And as controversial as Lost is, I think about that moment all the time in the Eucharist, that as I drink and eat, I can almost like see Jesus saying to me, now you're like me. That something happens to us when we partake of this meal. And that's why we do it all the time, as often as we can, because we need it all the time. We need to become more like him and be reminded that we can be and that we are becoming more like him. I need to be reminded as often as possible that I am not like him, that I am like him, and that I am becoming like him, somehow simultaneously, all at once, all the time. The Eucharist assures me that he died for me because I wasn't like him, so that I can be like him. This meal is a reminder of our identity in him, and it makes us like him mysteriously. It's doing work in us that we can't comprehend or explain. We just really get to experience it. And it's this identity that makes us the kind of people who can do as he did. To not just be like him on the inside, but be like him on the outside in our lives and how we act, what our habits are, our perspectives, our behaviors. It's out of Jesus' own identity that he washes feet. If you remember from the text we just read, it says, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his robe, and wrapped a towel around his waist. His identity made him free. Free to serve, free to love. Because he had everything in his hands. He had nothing to compete with, nothing to hoard, and nothing to gain. It all belonged to him, and it was out of that that Jesus could do this amazing act. The world would look at an ancient Near Eastern man with a towel around his waist, bending down at his friend's feet and say, that man is a slave. But really, he's the freest person who ever lived. And that's what we are called into today, friends, to live out this Eucharistic identity, just like he did, as free people, to take the bread and dip it into the cup and drink it down and let it free us. Free enough to get on our hands and knees before our brothers and sisters without an identity crisis, without shame, without pride, to be like him and to do like him. Peter said to Jesus in this moment, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you will have no share with me. So Peter, who I love, says, wash it all, Lord. Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus answers basically, your feet are enough. The feet are the dirtiest part of a person in the ancient world. Anatomically, they're gross, like they stink, like they're just a strange body part, you know? But in a pedestrian-oriented world, they were a means of transportation. They picked up whatever they had been through, whatever they'd walked through. All the mud, all the waste, the feet showed the wear and tear of the world on them. And the reason I think Jesus washed their feet, there's a myriad of reasons, but one of them being, I think the feet are like the heart, also showing all of the wear and tear of the world on them, picking up all that we've walked through, all that we go through, all that we've been scarred by, everything we've been through. Years ago, a friend and I were at brunch together, and we were sitting across from one another, and I asked how she was doing, and she gave one of those, like, sighs where you know something's coming, you know, and she said, you know that show Hoarders? And I was like, yes, I do know that show Hoarders. She said, that's what my heart feels like. It feels like Jesus has cleaned up the house, and then he finds a door, and there's a room no one knew about, and there's all this more work to do. Or someone finds, you know, the key to the basement, or whatever it is. There's all this more stuff in the heart, and he just keeps finding rooms. And that's what our hearts are like. They hold all that we walk through in life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our hearts are like ancient feet. You can tell them a priest told you that. Peter doesn't want Jesus to have to see and touch and, God forbid, wash these parts of him, understandably, but he does. And then Jesus invites him to do likewise. And we are invited in that to wash the dirtiest parts of others, to look into the worst parts of each other, to look at them and not see how messed up they are or how wrong they are or sinful, but to look into these places like Jesus would and say, I see someone that I can love. I see something I can love here. And to shrink down and scrub until they're clean. To grab a towel and do the work with and even for someone. Not just to point at it and say, that looks tough. Glad that's not me. Tonight, each of us needs to remember who we are. We get to be free enough to receive the washing of our feet, and then free enough to go out and wash someone else's, to be loved and to love. Only free people can really be loved, and only free people can really offer that love back out to the world. There's someone in your life, in your orbit, in your community, who needs your love. Someone who needs you on the floor with them when you've been standing at a distance and remarking how dirty their feet are. So I ask you, don't leave here tonight until you give a confession to the Lord for the ways you have distanced yourself or judged, and repent. Intercede for that person with a determination of love that only Christ could give you. We repent tonight for the ways we haven't loved like Christ. And we decide to love tonight more like Christ. Maundy Thursday is about being on the receiving end of the love of Christ and then moving out to the front lines of radical love for each other. The text we read said, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved me to the end. What a thought. I'm invited tonight to become the kind of person for whom this is said about me too. And so are you. I'll be honest, love doesn't come easy to me. I am a doer. I thought pastoral care would be my gig as a priest because I'm an introvert. Turns out I just want to tell people what to do. It's hard for me to be present, to be loving, to see where people are. And so when I pray for myself, it is this, that I would become a more loving person because I need the Lord to help me with that. I'm hoping that in prayer and community, and most of all in communion with Jesus, I can become and am becoming more loving. That in all of these things, these sort of rough edges in me will be softened in prayer, in conversations, but in moments like this, moments like tonight, that Jesus would do some sort of like miraculous work in me, years worth of work in one moment to make me more like him. I'm praying that at the end of my life, it would not be absurd for my tombstone to say, having loved her own who were in the world, she loved them to the end. I want to be that like Jesus. Maundy Thursday is our reminder that as Christians, we are forgiveness people to the end. We are people who serve to the end. We are people who are here to love one another to the end, just as Christ loved us. Amen.